I want to just welcome some very special people here today, very first time here at Victory Outreach. I want to welcome Modesto, Lanise, Chantel, Domingo, Denstine, Alicia, and McDuffie here for the very first time at Victory Outreach. It is our pleasure to serve you. I pray if you're looking for a church that you would come and stay here with us, this church. We have a big vision. It's not just about Albuquerque. We have a big world vision. You happen to show up on a day where it exposes our global vision. Global vision is not, it's not just here. We want to reach the whole world for Jesus, even at a small little church, small little Albuquerque. We want to reach the whole world for Jesus. Amen. We have a big vision, and that vision is for everybody, not just for me and a few, but for you too. Amen. Praise. Turn to somebody, give them a high five. Tell them, I'm glad to see you here this morning. I want you to take your Bibles with me this morning. Can we do a little Bible reading real quick this morning? I don't got a lot of time. You can be seated. Go ahead and be seated. So open to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, and that would be in page 1196. Got it? Page 1196. I don't have it. Jonah chapter 1. And I'm just going to start reading, okay? We're going to read down. Let me read a little bit. Can we read a little bit of the Word of God? Is the Word of God good in church? Is that okay? We live in a generation now where we have a whole lot of philosophy being preached. A whole lot of hot air being preached. A lot of people just preaching out, you know. But how many know the Word of God is what transforms people? It's the Word of God that gives us promises. It's the Word of God that changes us, not anything else. Not some good old, just, you know, some good philosophy. But the Word of God. The anointing. Jonah chapter 1 verse 1 says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, rise up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, everybody say he paid something, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. In other words, he was running from the call of God. Verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. There was a great mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid and every man cried out to his own God, little g, and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had got down into the lowest parts of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep, just sleeping through the whole storm. I mean, how many, some people can just sleep through the storm, amen? And so the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Rise up and call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us that we may not perish. We're trying anything now, he's pretty much saying. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from, and what is your country, and of what people are you? So we said to them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And verse 10 says, then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this to us? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. He must have broke it down and said, you know, you see, God might want me to do this, but I ran away, and that's why all this trouble is coming upon you. Then they said to him, what shall we do that the sea may become calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the ocean. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that the great tempest is because of me. This is all my fault. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not. For the sea had grown too strong against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord, and they said, oh, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's name's sake. Amen? Don't let us perish. This man's life It's his fault. We don't want to perish. Don't charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased to you. So they picked up Jonah and they threw him in the ocean, and the sea stopped raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Jonah's prayer and deliverance came through this. Amen? Think about this. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Fish, everybody say whale. And the Bible says God created it. This whale just came up and swooped him up. Amen? Sucked him right in. There he was living in the belly of the whale for 3 days. I want to talk to you just briefly this morning about having passion for God's people. There's two kind of people here this morning. Number one, there are Jonahs. There's a whole bunch of Jonahs in this room. You know God, you love God, and God is giving you something to do. There's another group of people in here this morning that are Ninevites. Literally. You don't really serve the Lord. You come to church, or maybe you even came to church today, but you're not like all into it. You're just like, hey, I'll listen, but I'm not into this. I know, because I've been there before. See, God will always use and call his people to accomplish what he wants to do. And God had called Jonah, we see in verse 1 and 2. We see that he told him, rise up and go to Nineveh and preach to that nation is crazy. And see, that's what we do in United We Can. When God says, when he speaks to our founders, Pastor Sonny and Julie, he speaks to their ears and he says, go to Panama. That place is wicked and it needs Jesus Christ. There's some churches there, but they're not. The drug addicts and the gang members are not listening to them. Go there and spend money and spend time and send people and buy vans and buy buildings and do whatever you got to do. But I need you to go to Panama. And you know what our pastor does? He doesn't run to Tarshish. He doesn't run and stay there in Southern California and just keep on the sun beating. He gets on a tangent and he starts putting team members together. Before you know it, we have set up in Panama. There's a building. There's hundreds of people. There's music. There's a pastor. There's a home for men, a home for women. There's a God's anointed now generation. There's a kids gang. It's all there. Why? Because Pastor Sonny responds to the call of God. And God calls us to do certain things here in our city. Sometimes not just globally, but also here locally. And even in our region, because we have a region here. And when God calls someone, it's hard to submit to his will in the first place. And imagine doing exactly what he says to do. And the people of Nineveh, these guys were the sworn enemies of Israel. So Jonah, I know you look at Jonah as a bad guy and say, why did Jonah run from that? I mean, he was running from his calling, yes, but he had also another motive. One of the motives that he had was that Jonah didn't like the people of Nineveh, and the reason why is because the Ninevites had done atrocious things to his family and his people. And if you know anything about the Jews, man, the Jews, they teach them about their past, their history. They teach them about the Holocaust. They teach them about all the things that happened. He knew about all the promises too. And so he knew about the atrocities that had happened to his people. And he's like, I'm not going to preach to those people. There's some of you here this morning. God is calling you to go preach to some of them people. And you're like, I ain't preaching to them people. People did me dirty. Well, who are you, a Jonah or a Ninevite? Come on, somebody. God has given us a mandate to reach the whole world. Sometimes the whole world is right around you, but we don't want to preach to them. We'd rather take a ship going to Tarshish. You might ask, why would God want me to preach to somebody that has done atrocities to my family or that I absolutely despise or they despise me? See, when I first got saved, immediately God told me to go speak to different people. There were people that I did not want to talk to. I mean, I come from a very horrible background. I mean, the life I was living was horrible. And I really believe with all my heart that God wanted to use my life. But then when he told me to go preach to certain people, I tried it and they mocked me. You know, especially the firemen. Because firemen have a sense of pride. If you're a fireman here, don't even think I'm judging you, because I was a fireman, so I can talk that mess to you. If you don't like it, that's too bad. I slept in the firehouse for 11 years. I know. But I'm telling you, they're prideful, man. You know? And they think that everybody, you know, and so I went to go, the Lord told me to go preach to them, and they wouldn't listen to me. They'd mock me. I'm not going to get into it, but they just mocked me. And so I quickly stopped doing it. I just got away from them. And then I started, like, judging them. And the Lord rebuked me about that. I said, quit judging people. I didn't judge you, so quit judging people so bad. So I just had to back off of that. But then I backed off, and then the Lord told me, I want you to reach people. I want you to disciple some people. I said, Lord, don't send me to them. They don't like me. They're judging me. They're mocking me. And they were looking at me. In 1980, when I got saved, that was around the time that the evangelist Jimmy Swagger had fallen. He fell into some crazy stuff, lost his ministry and all kinds of stuff. And I'll never forget these guys with my nickname started to be at the firehouse was Danny Swaggart. And I remember, man, I was a little G'd up before that. A couple of times I got in their face. I said, what'd you say? Man, say it to my face, homie. What'd you say? Well, I was just messing around. I go, well, say it now, bro. You know? And they would look at me like, is he saved or is he not saved? And I would say, not really. I'm just playing around. I said, go ahead, man. Because, you know, in the firehouse, they do a lot of poking, a lot of carrilla in Spanish. They poke around a little bit. They give you a lot of junk, man. But these guys were mean, man. They were cruel to me. But God told me, preach to them. And so I did. I preached with all my heart. And many of them wouldn't listen. But then something started to happen. They started to respond. Guys started coming to my bunk room and saying, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? They started pouring out their hearts. Guys started saying, you know what? I'm getting divorced. How did you keep your marriage together? Can you pray with me? Guys started saying, you know what? I want to learn about God, but you know what? Nobody, I don't know anybody that knows about God like you. I see you read your Bible. I see you pray. And I go, wow, can you teach me how to do that? And I'm like, what's going on here? And before you know it, I had disciples. I had disciples. In fact, the disciples that I made, they were the guys who actually started the Firefighters for Christ locally here. There's over 50 or 60% of the firemen are Christians now. But they wanted me to be a part of it. I couldn't because I was leaving the full-time ministry to come and be a youth pastor. I couldn't be part of that. But they wanted me to. So I would speak there and I would go. But what I didn't want to do, God told me you need to do. And what you don't want to do, you need to do. Whether you like it or not. Because you're either a Jonah or a Ninevite. And if you're a Jonah and running from God, that's the worst place to be. I've been there, and I'm telling you right now, it's not a good place to be. Let me move quick. See, Jonah couldn't handle the pressure of the call. And there's a lot of people that I see the call of God come upon them, and then all of a sudden they get squeezed, and they run from God. I know, because I did that when I was a youngster. I got the touch of God when I was 16 years old. I had the calling of God. Man, I felt the call of God from 16 to about 18 years old, and I fought it, and I wrestled with it, and I never forget. I ran so hard. I found me a ship going where I wanted to go, and that ship was in a hurricane for about 10 years. Until that day in 1987 where I was able to give my life to Jesus. I want you to know something right now. If you're running from God today, it stops. Stop running today. Don't you run another step. Don't you put your foot on another boat going a different place where you think you need to go. Listen, you need to understand something right here, that God has a purpose for your life. He has a calling for your life. He wants to not just change you, but he wants to use you to help change people. Jonah couldn't handle it, so he ran. Where did he run? He ran into a more horrible place than Nineveh, really. Tarshish was a Phoenician city on the Mediterranean coast, probably in Spain, maybe in Cyprus, or maybe even the northern tip of Africa. But those Phoenicians, man, they were crazy. They were smart, and they had a lot of prosperity, a lot of finances. But there was also, they had a lot of false gods there. Jezebel had brought that stuff to them. And that's where she got it from. And it was a lot of false gods. And so all that whole area right there, he was going from the frying pan into the fire. He was instead of going and doing what God said, he was going to a more wicked place than even Nineveh. And that's what happens when you run from God. When God has a call on your life and you run from God, you think you're going to a safe place, but actually the devil's there waiting. Huh? How many of you know that you can run from the presence of God, but you cannot hide from it? Psalms 139, verse 7 through 13, he says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. So which way is your ship headed this morning? Come to the keyboard if you would you? Where's your ship going, man? Where are you headed? Do you know? Do you even know where your ship's headed? Or are you just in the ship, in the bottom of the ship, asleep? Not even the cry of your children is enough to move your heart. Your children are crying out, we need something. And you're just barely getting to church. God is saying the days of barely getting to church is over. The days of getting serious with God and getting His purpose is now, for now, right now. Listen, there's wars and rumors of wars. There's earthquakes. There's all kinds of stuff. Every sign that Jesus said is happening on the earth. That's not to scare you. You know what that's for? To wake you up. Jonah, the Bible says Jonah was fast asleep in the bottom of the ship. Some of you got to get out of the ship. Get out of that bottom of the ship and get out and smell the fresh air of the ocean, man. And say, wait a minute. What am I doing? Where am I going? I'll never forget those days, man. I hate to remember them, but I can't forget them. About 10 years where I ran from God, I was backslidden. I'd be in places where I shouldn't be at, seeing things I shouldn't be part of. You know, really, honestly, just horrific things. And I remember the uproar in my heart, knowing that I'm called, but suppressing it. I was more miserable then than ever before. Because those of you that know God and you run from your calling, you know it doesn't leave you. It doesn't leave you. It never leaves you. It's always there. His calling was without repentance. In other words, whatever He's called you to do, you're always called to do it. Even if you go out and do whatever you're going to do and you go do this and that, you're always called to do that. It'll never leave you. You'll never have rest. So why not submit to it and surrender? So let's move real quick. We see that Jonah paid the fare on that ship. See, some of you don't want to pay the fare. You don't want the sacrifice of the call of God, but yet you're willing to pay the fare for the run. I don't think you're getting this. I don't think you understand what I'm trying to say here this morning. You literally say, well, it's too much of a price to pay for the call of God. But then the trip away from the call of God, it's more costly than the actual calling. I know, I was there, I've been there, I've done that. It's going to cost you to answer the call, but it's going to cost you more to run from it. Now, we know that God sent that wind. Sometimes God will send a little wind your way so you can wake up and say, wait a minute, this is because of me. Your kids might say, why is all this happening? You can tell them all you want, but they know in their heart of hearts, if we would just get to church, if we would just do what God's called us to do as a family, I know where they'd be. And they say stuff like that. How can you be asleep in the middle of your storm? There's only two ways to be asleep. Either you got the peace of God, and the storms come to those who have been in the calling, and you got the peace of God, and you're able to sleep. Got sweet sleep in the storm. Not because you're running from God, because you know who's in charge of the storm. You know storms don't last forever. But then you could be the other person who's asleep in the storm in like a depression state. Just, I love when the captain of the ship got together and said, okay, whose fault is this? And they finally found him and said, what are you doing? So who's your God? And the word of God, he said, who's your God? He says, I serve the God of heaven, the one who made the sea and the land. He says, well, you're the problem then, brother. What's your problem? He goes, well, and you know what? He started spilling it all out. You know how you are. Don't tell me. I know there's some people in here, you've been places you shouldn't be doing, ingesting some things you shouldn't, and you spilled it all out to the people around you. They're like, what are you doing with us? And I don't know. I got you. And they're like, what in the world are you doing with us? We wish we had that. Can you go get it right and come and get us? Come on, somebody. I've been there. God prepared a whale, man. Huh? He was there for 3 days. See, Jonah took the wrong ship. and got swallowed up. If you take the wrong ship today after this message, you could get swallowed up. And I thank God that, aren't you grateful that, God, that when the whale swallowed you up the last time you got swallowed up, that he didn't swallow up your attitude? It was in his darkest hour that Jonah just said, okay, God. He cried out. He prayed to the Lord in chapter 2. He says, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. You threw me into the depths of the ocean. I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me, says in verse 3. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, oh Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. Aren't you grateful for the great mercies of God? The grace of God. That no matter where you've been, how far you've run, it's like the prodigal son, you can always come home and say, God, I'm ready. See, he'll pull you out of a dark place like he did Jonah. See, the dry land, the Bible says that after that, that the whales vomited or spit him out onto dry land. That dry land represents stability. He was a stable. He was back and forth in that whale. And that's like our lives are back and forth and bumping from here to there. And when God finally says, okay, enough's enough already. If you really cry out to me, I will put your feet on a solid rock. I will put you in a place where your life is stable. I don't know about you, man, but if it weren't for God, I wouldn't be stable. I love what somebody once said, that the correct way to hope and wait for the Lord is to steadfastly expect his mercy, his rescue. And while you're doing it, not take your matters in your own hands. How many want to expect the Lord to do great things in your life? So we see Jonah got a second chance. He got a second chance. We've gotten a second chance. Maybe a third or fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh. Our God is a God of second chances, man. That's who he is. We can't run, though. When he gives you a second chance, you can't run. You might have run before, but you got to get it right now. We finally got to get it right. Amen. And once he gets it right, what's beautiful, Jonah marches into Nineveh and preaches the gospel. He preaches the word of God to them, and they get saved. The whole city, the king, everybody gets saved and delivered. He sees the mighty hand of God move. But, everybody say but. There's always a but in the word of God right here, man. In chapter 4, after they get saved, he starts saying stuff like this. I'm going to paraphrase. He starts saying, God, see, I knew you were a God of mercy. That's why I didn't want to come, because I knew that these guys would respond. Look at them. They're all saved now. I want you to think about it. The people that God said that you didn't want to go talk to are now good, doing good, and saved. And now you're angry? So he went and he took his blanket and his little thumb, and he went up to the top of the mountain and found him a little tree, and he laid under there and just whimpered to himself. Hundreds of thousands of people got saved. I don't like them. Why do they got to get saved? Why do they got to be godly people? They weren't godly people before. They hurt me. And God said, you know what God did? He got shriveled up that tree. A shade where he was under the shade drinking lemonade. Under that shade, and then he shriveled the tree. He said, hey, he got mad at him. What, take away my tree. He said, you didn't make that tree. I made that tree. You didn't make those people. I made those people. I love those people. And I want you to love them. I think sometimes we can love people as long as they're far away. But when they're right here close to us in our face, we have a hard time loving them. And God is saying, I want you to have a passion for my people. This message is about this. Having passion for God's people. Some of you say, I've been to the joint. I ain't never going back to the joint again. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad you're not. What if God calls you to the prison ministry? I ain't going to no prison ministry. I've been spending my whole life. I remember my dad would take me to the prison. I go, Dad, why are we going to the prisons? I spent my whole life trying to get, not even ever come here. Now you make me go in with you. I don't want to really go to the prisons, Dad. And he was like, mijo, he goes, come on with me. So I would go and I would see the hand of God move. And I thought to myself, you know, wow. Some of you have been in prison. You don't ever want to see inside of a prison again. And that's good. But what if God calls you to preach in the prison with Pastor Joe and the team? Hello, somebody. If he does, and you run, you may end up in the bottom of a ship, and it might be called Santa Fe or Las Lunas or Santa Rosa. So you might as well just do what God says. And you know what's crazy? He's like, well, they'll never approve me. They'll approve you. I got felonies here. You got your little card. You walk in, and you walk out, and the glory of that is you walk out, and then you go to Denny's and eat afterward and say, I can't believe I just walked in 2 hours ago and walked right out. God says, love my people and love the ones you can see right here as well as the ones that live across the world and you're under your cat. I want you to bow your heads with me. Everybody head bowed this morning. These verses clearly define Jonah's reason for not wanting to go. People had heard him. He was angry with them. But God taught him a lesson. Can't run from the calling of God. There's at least four things. I'm not going to labor them, but as every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want you to listen. Four characteristics that will help you from running from God's purpose and running to His purpose. Number one is obedience. Just obey God. Obey the Lord. Obey His word and watch what He does. Somebody once said, never try to explain God until you obey Him. Obedience shows the depth of our commitment to the Lord. Second thing is be self-disciplined. Proverbs 25 and 28 says, like a city whose walls are broken down is the man who lacks self-control. Come on, man. Self-discipline yourself now. From this point on, no more going into other ships. You stay on the ship. You stay where God says to go. You do what God says to do. Thirdly, submit yourself to the Lord. Be in submission. There's some people that just ain't going to do it no matter what. They're not going to follow lead. They're not going to follow God. They're going to follow their pastor. They're just going to do whatever they want to do. And they keep on getting back in trouble. You know why? Because you keep on getting on that same wrong ship. Get back on the right ship. God's favor always comes upon a man or woman that submitted themselves. He always makes room for a submitted person, a humble person. That's the last one. Be humble. Seek God and be humble. Amen. I don't know about you this morning, but if you're on a ship to destruction, then God wants to rescue you. But you're going to have to call out on Him. If you're this morning running from the call of God, you love God. You know you do. You're called, but you're running. You're just running from the Lord. You're running from serving Him. You're running from the calling that He has upon you. Maybe God's called you to the children's ministry, and it burns in your heart, but you don't want to spend time back there. You want to be in church. But you're called. God's called you to reach the kids. And you're running from that. While you're running from that, they're short-handed. And that means that there's less kids that are going to be ministered to. Maybe you're called. Maybe you're a fabulous singer, a saxophone player, a drummer. And you say, you know what? I know if I join the worship team, that Pastor Charles is going to have me at work, at practice. I'm going to have to come to church on Wednesdays too. Stuff like that. And I don't know if I'm ready to commit to that. You know, quit running, man. Give your gift to God. Give your gift to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to submit. I want to surrender myself to You. Or maybe you're just here and say, you know what? I'm not serving the Lord at all. I'm not even serving God at all. I happen to be here today. Or I've been coming to church, but I've not surrendered to God. I'm just kind of coming with the wife or the husband, or I'm coming with family. And there's something I'm struggling with. It's a struggle. I want you to know there's power in the blood. Or maybe you're here and you're addicted and afflicted and you're trying to serve the Lord, but that You got something on your back that's much bigger. It's King Kong on your back. King Kong's hanging on your back, man, with addiction. Some life-controlling issue you just can't get rid of. I want you to know something right now. If you'll call out from the belly of the whale, because you got yourself there, you can blame the devil and you can blame people, but you made choices to get where you're at. And if you're ready to change today, you're ready to change, and this service is just for you. It's time to come back home, get right where you got to get the right place. your family's in shambles and things are going crazy, then get off that ship you're going to and get back on the right track. I'm going to ask him to sing this song this morning. And before I call the altar call, if you don't know the Lord, you don't know Jesus, and you want to give your life to Jesus, when this altar call is called for those that are running from God, I want to ask you to come, and I want you to find a place at this altar. So I want to open up this altar right now. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. If you've been running from God, if you've been running from the call, maybe you're called to pastor a church and you're running from it. Maybe you're called to be a home director and you're running from it. Maybe you're called to work with youth ministry and you're running from it. Whatever you're running from, come and get a hold of God here this morning. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your life, for your family. Oh, he's here. He's a way maker.